huddle up.
66 Hitchex Vegas Flair. I'm one ready.
It's time to break down the boldest plays.
Let's go, baby! Boom!
Hardest hits. Boom. And the craziest stories from around the NFL.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay! Fire the cannons!
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Well, you'd think we'd talk about football on a football Sunday morning and preview what is a pretty good slate of NFL action or react to a also pretty good slate of college football action. That is not the case today. On a Sunday morning, November the 2nd, 2025, the rare November game for the Major League Baseball, there was a Game 7 last night that is as good as sports gets. And that is not just including baseball, football, basketball, Olympics. What we saw last night in Toronto at the Rogers Center between the Toronto Blue Jays and the Los Angeles Dodgers was nothing short of remarkable. It was one of the best sporting events you could ever find, and it was as intense, as dramatic, as fun, as back and forth, and as crazy as you could possibly imagine. At its peak, there is nothing like a great postseason baseball game. You have to get the outs. You have to be leading the game. You have to decide who's going to pitch where. There's so much what if. You know, if a wide receiver on an NFL team makes a crucial mistake at the end of the game, there's no consideration of whether that wide receiver should have been in the game or whether a quarterback should have been in the game at that point. If a basketball team, if a crucial starter makes a big mistake in a big-time playoff game, there are no questions of whether that guy should not or should not have been in the game itself. And basically, any sort of sport, you don't necessarily think about the what if just as much as you think about it with baseball. Baseball last night, and with the decisions that were made, that was as good as it gets in terms of dramatics. Because now, just about 12 hours removed, a little under, we are thinking the what if surrounding the Toronto Blue Jays and the Dodgers, who have become the first repeat champion in Major League Baseball history in the last 25 years. And it was a series in which the Dodgers fell down 3-2 going back to Toronto. And they were able to win two straight games in dramatic fashion against the Blue Jays, who probably played better than them. It's Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3 with Colin Russo and Cade Chumsen. Cade Chumsen's down in West Palm Beach at the City Play Studios. I am up in Jacksonville. I was at the Florida-Georgia game over at Everbank Field in Jacksonville yesterday, and I was able to watch the game with the Jacksonville locals last night and had a great time doing so. Hard Rock Bet, I mean, come on. If you're watching a game like last night and maybe if you are getting involved in the live betting on Hard Rock Bet, you have so many options and so many ways to get involved. Hard Rock Bet is the best. You can download it for free on the App Store or the Google Play Store today, and you put just $5 into the bet. Just five. You put $5 into the app. You bet that first $5. If you win, that's $1,500 immediately to your account. I mean, $150 in bonus bets immediately to your account. Not $1,500. $150 in your account immediately that you could play with. You could use this on NBA, NFL, college football, MLB. It's all available to you on the Hard Rock Bet app. Check out the Discover page. See what other users are putting together in terms of their props and parlays and tickets and everything like that. And you can tap and tag along. It is that easy, just a few taps away. That is Hard Rock Bet, offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus, physically present in Florida. The wager. Terms and conditions apply. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem, please call 1-833-PLAY-WISE. Cade Chumsen, we'll get into the game really quickly. I want to get your initial reaction to what you saw last night in the Game 7 of the World Series.
It was the iconic moment where you see Martin Scorsese in his chair and it says absolute cinema above him. It was the greatest final to a World Series I have ever seen. It was one of those rare moments where I'm sitting on my couch, it's completely dead silent in my apartment, and I'm scared to blink because I'm afraid I'm going to miss whatever happens next. Just complete attention and focus to the screen, and I was nervous. I was getting jitters just watching other people play a sport, and I'm hundreds of miles away. But you have to have that feeling when you're watching history physically unfold in front of you. We're going to get into all the action, but I'm still kind of reeling from the fact that the Dodgers were able to pull off that game.
Probably didn't play well enough to win it, but that's how baseball works. All right, let's get into what we saw yesterday throughout the Game 7. We're going to do this by doing our quick look ahead presented by Jay Zolo and Associates.
298
Time now for a quick look, presented by the QuickBooks Pro Experts at J. Zolo & Associates. Since 1997, J. Zolo & Associates has been helping Palm Beach County businesses with their accounting and bookkeeping needs. From expert QuickBooks services to getting your business finances in order, their team has the knowledge and experience to help.
Our quick look ahead, or quick look behind, presented by Jay Zolo & Associates, QuickBooks Pro Advisor Firm. That's your option over there. All right, so here's how we're going to do this. If you are somehow, some way not available to watch Game 7, here's what you need to know. All right, starting out the game, you had Shohei Ohtani on the mound for the Los Angeles Dodgers in a crucial must-win environment. And for him specifically, that is as nerve-wracking of a game as he has ever played in his career. And we know how great he is. Well, he got knocked around pretty early against the Toronto Blue Jays. Bo Bichette specifically, who hasn't been able to move because of injuries that have been hampering him. Third inning, two men on. What does Bo Bichette do? Take a listen. Three-run home run for Bo Bichette off of Shohei Ohtani. Shohei Ohtani gets yanked probably earlier than he would have expected. Doesn't put up the performance that he wished he could have. The Dodgers are able to cut back into the lead a little bit, but enter into the eighth inning. Eighth inning, we need five more outs just to get to this, the end of the World Series, the end of the line for the Toronto Blue Jays. Down 4-2, Max Muncy, nobody on. Max Muncy, who has been a hero before, hasn't played well this postseason. What does he do in the top of the eighth? Take a listen.
The 1-1 from the Savage. Muncy hits a high drive to deep right field, headed for the pole and gone. Max Muncy brings the Dodgers back to within one with a no-doubt shot.
About as pure of a home run as you can see.
Yep, as Joe Davis on the call says, brings him back in within one run with a couple outs to go in this postseason game. A single solo run shot. The Dodgers have not been able to get anybody on base. And that was against Trey Yesavage, who has been the Blue Jays' best pitcher throughout this postseason. So what are you going to do? You're going to point at your best pitcher and say we shouldn't have put him in? Absolutely not. He's going to be in. It's just one of those moments where the hitter caught the pitcher. On top of that, we move into the next inning. Toronto's not able to do anything on the other side of things. They bring in Jeff Hoffman, who has been their closer all year, who has been their most reliable bullpen arm all year. Jeff Hoffman going against Miguel Rojas. Everybody's worried. 3-2 count, one out. Everybody's thinking, don't let Ohtani get anybody on base. Don't walk him because Ohtani's up next. Miguel Rojas says, I got another thing in mind. Take a listen.
Payoff. Drilled to left field and deep. And gone! No way!
Miguel Rojas, who hadn't even started in the beginning of this series, was thrusted in at second base because they had to move Tommy Edman to center field. And the nine-hole hitter, who they have not gotten anything out of all postseason long, is able to put together the tying run, the tying home run to tie it up at four apiece in the ninth inning. And then from there, Miguel Rojas, Ohtani's not able to do anything. They're knocking. Bottom of the ninth comes about. All right, last licks for the home team. Can the Toronto Blue Jays shun the run of the Dodgers one last time? Little bit dribbler to second base. We mentioned him, Miguel Rojas. There's somebody on third base going home. Take a listen to see what happened on this dribbler.
Varsho. Roller to second. Rojas comes home in time.
Call on the field in time.
Rojas,
a little dribbler by Dalton Varsho.
Saves it in the bottom of the ninth.
A little dribbler by Dalton Varsho to second base. Vladdy Guerrero running home. And you're sitting there thinking, he's home. He's safe. He's out. He's safe. I was watching it with people, and everybody was 50-50. Call in the field was out. You saw that Will Smith actually had his foot off the bag when he made that catch and was able to drop the foot just, it must have been a hundredth of a second before that foot hit home plate. Dodgers survive, and they continue moving on. That was two outs. That was just a second out. And, we're not finished yet. And what happened next? Andy Baez, who was just subbed in, who hasn't been able to hit all series long, was put into center field for the bottom of the ninth. We need defense. He's a defensive center fielder. We took out Tommy Edman. Boom. Long, deep drive to center, left center field with Andy Baez there. Let's see what happens.
Catch,
So let's put this into perspective for a second. That is Andy Páez running over the left fielder, Kike Hernandez. And to put it into perspective, they're both running to left center. Kike Hernandez probably had to step on him, but Kike Hernandez was running like he was a wide receiver trying to basket catch it, like he's Willie Mays. And he's not trying to turn, he's not trying to get underneath the ball, he's trying to run into it with it with the ball falling over his right shoulder. Andy Páez, who is probably the superior fielder, says, no, I'm coming down with this baseball, runs him over, makes as miraculous of a play as you can see to save the game. Because if that landed, there were two men on the base path, that would have been a no-doubter walk-off victory in Game 7 to the Toronto Blue Jays. Boom, we're going into extras. Yoshinobu Yamamoto, who is on 0 days rest, is on the mound for the Los Angeles Dodgers after going 95 pitches a game ago and after throwing a complete game in Game 2. We go back and forth, a couple dramatics in the 9th and 10th inning. Early in the 11th inning, Dodgers up to hit. We're looking for something, 4-4 ball game. Can anybody get anything going? We didn't get anything from Ohtani. Let's see what Will Smith has to say about this.
Smith, it's a high fly ball to deep left field. It's got a chance. It is gone. It's Will Smith in Game 7.
5-4 lead by the Los Angeles Dodgers in the top of the 11th inning. This is not going to be one of those 18-inning, oh, can somebody score? It doesn't seem like that. It doesn't seem like it's going to be like that anymore after the Will Smith solo shot in the top of the 11th. We go to the bottom of the 11th. This is do or die time. What do the Blue Jays do? They immediately get men on. First and third with one out. Alejandro Kirk up at the plate. Mookie Betts in the infield. Let's see what happens to close out the game.
Here's the 0-2 pitch. Kirk bounces one up the middle. Betts to the back. Over to first to beat the champ. You gotta knock him out. The Dodgers stand tall and win back-to-back titles.
That alone was in a four-inning period. That alone, those plays were in a 3-4 inning period to finish off that game. And Mookie Betts was able to turn two after Yamamoto gets himself into trouble. And Yamamoto on 0 days rest, 34 pitches, was able to throw 2 2/3 scoreless out of the bullpen to save the Dodgers season and win himself the World Series MVP. There's your quick look behind. Presented by Jay Zolo and Associates, QuickBooks Pro Advisor Firm, the leading certified QuickBooks Pro Advisor Firm. Kate, that's as good as it gets, my friend. That is as good as baseball gets. Did you ever think the Dodgers were going to do it? Going through the game up into that 11th inning pre-Will Smith home run, was the gut feeling to you, Blue Jays are going to figure this out, or the Dodgers are going to be the inevitable?
I thought the Blue Jays were going to figure it out. I thought that they were going to get Rojas out. I thought they were going to pitch against Ohtani, and they were going to have that epic moment where they either strike him out or get Ohtani out, and you finally beat the big bad wolf who had been haunting you all World Series, and Rojas just steps in and plays one of the biggest spoiler moments in sports history. Just forget the fact that the Dodgers win it. The fact that Rojas is the one to do it, who literally hasn't had any postseason
home runs. September 18th. September 18th was his last home run.
And his last postseason home run, 2020, when he was a Miami Marlin. His last extra base hit, he has only had one extra base hit in the previous 20 postseason games that he's played in. If there was one person on the entire star-studded Dodgers lineup who was not going to get it past the infield or get any sort of ball in a corner, it was going to be Miguel Rojas. And he even said after the game, I wasn't trying to hit a home run, but Hoffman just put up this beautiful slider right in the middle of the plate, and all you got to do is put bat to ball, and the power from Rojas just put it over the field. And my eyes went so wide when that happened. It's like, oh my goodness. Like, you have never heard a crowd with so many people go so silent all at one time. Suck the air and completely out of the building.
I mean, let's think about this for a second. The Dodgers were probably not the better team throughout the series. The Blue Jays consistently got more offense on board. They consistently got more men on bases. They consistently pitched a little creatively. You can make the argument that Ohtani did not pitch up to his standard. Blake Snell definitely did not pitch up to his standard. Tyler Glasnow even wasn't great. It was Yamamoto being otherworldly good and a mixture of good bullpen relief appearances. And, you know, Blake Snell pitched well yesterday for the most part, but it was a trial by committee with what we saw from the Dodgers yesterday. Let's put this into perspective for yesterday. the last two games, Mookie Betts had the two-run single to put them ahead in that game six game, which was as dramatic as it gets as well. And Mookie Betts, who hasn't done anything this postseason, that was his moment. And then you had Kike Hernandez, who was able to get that little drop on Addison Barger after catching that ball in left center field with one out in the bottom of the ninth with Addison Barger on second, was able to throw Barger out, who made a crucial base running error by leading off of second base. Kike makes his move, makes his play, and Dodgers escape to a game seven. Move into game seven. Shohei Ohtani doesn't save you. It's not Freddie Freeman who saves you. It was Max Muncy in the eighth, who sort of just gave the team a little bit of a spark because if Treya Savage, who has been outstanding, mowing everybody down, was able to get through Muncy there, there's a chance that they still go to him throughout the ninth. And if he doesn't give up that one pitch that gets the Dodgers a little bit of life, this is probably a different series. Max Muncy is part of the reason that they're able to get back into this. On top of that, we talked about it, Miguel Rojas. So this is Max Muncy, Mookie Betts, Kike Hernandez, and Miguel Rojas to save the Dodgers season to this point. On top of that, yes, I know you go to Yamamoto in that spot, but Blake Snell came in relief right before Yamamoto. He left two runners on with Yamamoto coming in, but that was a guy who hasn't been able to throw a strike all series long and was able to get through that. That was another guy who kind of pulled his weight in that game. We know how great Yamamoto was, most important player in the series, but on top of that, let's continue with this for a second. Miguel Rojas to Will Smith, both of them making that play at home to make the force out with bases loaded. That was the go-ahead out. And Miguel Rojas, not only with the quick thinking to get the ball to home, but in all seriousness, it probably saved their season. Will Smith just getting his toe down in a tenth of a second that he needed to do that. And one thing I didn't even bring up, to go back to game six, how about Justin Dean was in center field and allowed the ball to be wedgied and made a call in the heat of the moment. He was just subbed into center field. Heat of the moment, puts his hands up. Hey, that's a ground rule double. That should not score two runs. And it probably would have if that ball was able to bounce off the wall. Another huge play by one of the pieces of the Dodgers. And on top of that, you have Mookie Betts turning the play on two, and you have Andy Páez in center field, who was just subbed in to save the game again with two outs in the ninth to not allow that deep fly ball to left center to drop. This has been a committee. This is how the Dodgers do it. It is somebody else every single game. You think that they're great with the star power. You think they got Ohtani, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman. They have so many studs. It's not just them. It is the back half of the lineup. Tommy Edman makes play after play every single game. It is about the island of other toys that they have available to them. That is why the Dodgers are so good. It is not because they spend, and it partially is not because they spend hundreds of millions of dollars on these seven or eight players. It's because they know how to select the perfect utility men to surround their stars. And that is exactly what it took to beat the Blue Jays, who was better than the Dodgers throughout the series. That was one of those games where you're looking around thinking, this is not just star power, big brooding team that is just so much more talented. This is about guys making unbelievable situational safe plays and not blowing the game. That was my ultimate takeaway coming out of it, was this is as much of a committee takes a village type of game that I've seen in quite a bit. That's what it takes. That's why the Dodgers were able to do it. They had the lowest World Series average for a World Series winning team in about 20 years. That is how inept offensively they were. And they were down 3-2 in both games in the Rogers Center in Toronto. That is baseball, Kate.
It was beautiful. It was so beautiful to watch. I have a really good baseball buddy of mine. We just kept texting each other like, this is beautiful to watch. This is just exactly what we all hope for in a big baseball game. And I'm super happy for Dave Roberts. So many times in these World Series when the Dodgers come in, it's all about the roster, the big bats, the big arms. And everyone kind of looks towards the front office of the Dodgers being able to spend their money to get these players. How about Dave Roberts actually having a mind of a genius to be able to put fielders in, to be able to put pitchers in? And he you just mentioned Dean in game six. He made some lineup options from a batting perspective,
starting Miguel Rojas.
Yeah, exactly. Right. He started game two of the NLDS and didn't start again until game six of the World Series. And that ultimately won them a championship. Dave Roberts was brilliant in this entire postseason, this entire World Series, and he deserves all the praise he can get. He is not just a man who knows how to deal with a whole bunch of superstars. He is a genius of a World Series manager, and he just crafted it all together. He knew exactly when pieces need to come together. So many times, managers will either get too nervous or they will try to overanalyze things. Exactly, yeah, exactly. Dave Roberts knows which players can do their jobs the best, and he lets them work. And sure enough, that's exactly what he did. Put him in at the right time, and the system, this incredibly crafted system, did its job last night. It was beautiful. Cinema.
First Game 7 that we've seen in about 6 years in Major League Baseball in the World Series level, and it puts a cap on one of the better postseasons we've had in years. And this is not just considering this specific series, but you could go down the list of all the great games that we have had in this last month. Some people say baseball needs to prolong its postseason. It needs to be longer. You need to have a longer series. I disagree, because now you get more opportunities to have huge, awesome games in high leverage situations. Go back to the Yankees and Red Sox. You know, Yankees falling down 1-0 in that wild card series first two, and they were able to get to a game three, which was as good as it gets with two rookies on the mound. If you go to the other side of things, Cubs Padres game two. If you go to on top of that, you got Dodgers Phillies game one and then game four, with the dribbler bases loaded to Orion Kirkring, who screwed up by throwing the ball at a home plate to allow them to get the winning run in at Dodger Stadium in the 11th inning. That was another huge game. Game five of the Mariners and Detroit Tigers. Cade Chumson and I were in the City Play Studios in West Palm Beach watching that till 1:30 in the morning. That 15 inning on a Friday night, a 5.5-hour expedition of a baseball game. And that's not even considering game one, which went 11 innings as well in that Tiger Mariners series. On top of that, you have, the Yankees stunk. Blue Jays Yankees was not a great series. But outside of that, in Blue Jays and the Mariners, Game seven was as good as it gets with George Springer, the three-run go-ahead shot, the home run to left field to take the lead in that Game 7 environment after trailing all game. And you have Shohei Ohtani, who in Game 4 against the Brewers put together three home runs in six scoreless innings with 10 strikeouts. And then we go to the World Series, Kate, and we have Game 3, 18 innings, 6 hours, 40 minutes. Game 6, which was the wedgie game, the World Series wedgie game in the ninth inning. And then you have last night, which was a pandemonium, Game 7. That's just me off the top. That is right then and there about 10 or 12 great postseason games that you could think of just like that. That's why baseball's postseason at its core is the best when it is the best. That is awesome.
And I loved all the moments where it was not necessarily the superstars making the big plays. You know why we didn't have the Mets in this World Series? We didn't have the Red Sox coming down the stretch.
Yankees eliminated early.
Exactly. We had a whole lot of teams and a whole lot of players that really hadn't made names for themselves, and a lot of people got the spotlight, and you're almost looking at the next wave of superstars in the MLB. I mean, if you talk about the Toronto Blue Jays for a second, Vlad Guerrero Jr. had one of the greatest postseason runs of all time. Clement broke a record for the most hits in a single World Series. Bo Bichette, as an injured guy who could barely get to first base, had some of the biggest hits in the World Series and coming into that, even though he didn't play that much. So even the Toronto Blue Jays themselves went to superstardom more than they were, having been in last place in their division last year and making a World Series run. Some of the losers even had big shining moments. And this right here, Colin, we always have, when there's not a lot of sports going on, when we're in the end of February, beginning of March, and there's not necessarily a lot of things cooking, we always have these genre debates about greatest postseasons, greatest sports, greatest whatever. This right here, the last 6 weeks, are the reason that MLB has a name for themselves in the postseason and could be considered to be the greatest postseason sport of all time. I would maybe throw the NFL in there just because it's one game at a time, but when you're talking about a sport that runs off of series and runs off of game sevens, the MLB is the peak of the mountain. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would. And, you know, I was thinking about this. Game 7 yesterday, obviously because of the implication, but in terms of a game itself, it was better than Game 3. It was better than Game 3 because Game 3 had that inning 13 to inning 17 where you're thinking, good God, somebody get on base. But but this was perfect. 11 innings, wasn't too long into the extras. That was one of the best postseason events I've watched all year. And just to throw a couple out there, Cade knows, last round Rory at the Masters also immediately comes to mind. You have a number of games in the NBA postseason, especially with the Indiana Pacers game one NBA final, Tyrese Halliburton hitting the game winner, game one against the Knicks, Pacers, Knicks and Tyrese Halliburton having that 12-point comeback with a minute to go and hitting that dribbler game tying two to at the end of regulation at Madison Square Garden. He does the choke signal with Reggie Miller in the stands. And then on top of that, the French Open, Sinner Alcaraz, Carlos Alcaraz down triple championship point to Yannick Sinner and is able to come back and basically an hour and 45 minutes later to do a five set basically tie break against the world's number one. That was as good as it gets. Ryder Cup day three. I know it wasn't that dramatic, but it was dramatic. That last day of the Ryder Cup when the U.S. is knocking and we're right there. Let's think about this for a second. That enters that category. That is as good as baseball and as sports get that we'll see this year. It's better than any NCAA tournament game. It was better. There was a couple excellent game two of the Stanley Cup final. Oilers, Panthers comes to mind. But that series was over once you got into game six. This was as good of a implicating sporting event as we've had all year. Those are the four or five that pop to mind. In terms of huge, crazy games, but that is where I stand. That is a top three event of the year, probably rivaling to me that Rory Masters and the French Open final between Alcaraz and Sinner.
I completely agree. I completely agree. And honestly, that's just 2025 you're talking about. We had an amazing conversation last week about greatest single game male performances in sports history. It was a fantastic debate, and I wouldn't necessarily say that. Like you said before, it was a committee that the Dodgers had. But when we're talking about single games in MLB history, this has to go up there. But speaking of our conversation last week, and this will be a perfect segue into our next segment, we're going to get into the headline hierarchy. We're going to get into all of your NFL Week 9 action. But next week, Colin, we have the opportunity to talk with the man himself, Hembo, from Get Up, from formerly Greeny. He is Mr. Stats. He is Mr. Trivia, co-author of all of Mike Greenberg's books. He does several podcasts now. He is the man who knows all of the numbers, all of the history, and he is going to get in on the action next week when we talk about, again, the greatest single-game male performances. We're going to see how he tries to handle this list. Colin, I'm sure we'll have a little bit of a debate on where we think things should happen, but tune in next week on Sunday Huddle for our interview with Hembo. Colin, I am stoked about this conversation.
And that's why it's good. This is all going to be fresh so we could talk about games like this. And Hembo, like Cade said, is that he's a research whiz. He knows where to look. He knows how to look for it. He knows how to compartmentalize everything. So we'll talk to him about some of the great games and great performances that we have seen from throughout sports history. But that yesterday was a historically great baseball game. Historically great. It had everything you could have possibly imagined. Dodgers were pressured. You have big game moments from big game players. You have ticky-tack plays that take review where everybody's living and dying on every single review call and living and dying on every single pitch. All of the stars on both sides for the Blue Jays and for the Dodgers, their best guys are pitching. Shane Bieber was the one who gave up the go-ahead run to Will Smith in the 11th inning. And that is somebody who also pitched great throughout the postseason, mostly pretty great throughout the postseason. That Trey Savage, Shane Bieber, and Jeff Hoffman giving up your three solo shots to lose a game. Where's the Blue Jay going to look after that? Those are three of your best guys. You know, you're not going to go Gausman. Scherzer already gave you the first four or five innings. You're not going anywhere else. Those are your guys. Those are the guys who let you down. We got to get into some headline hierarchy. We'll make a couple picks. We're not talking about the slate until we make some picks. But nonetheless, Cade Chums and Colin Russo, Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet. Listen, if you've been in that car accident, truck accident, suffered a slip and fall, my friends Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine at Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, they're here to fight for you. They don't charge you unless you win. They work tirelessly to get you the maximum compensation that you deserve. Why settle for just any attorney? Demand the best. Demand Anajar and Levine today because that's the Anajar and Levine difference. Take that one phone call. Take back control of your life. Don't wait. Call for the free consultation now. Call 1-800-747-FREE. 1-800-747-3733. Take back control now with Anajar and Levine. Sunday Huddle will come out back to you with a little headline hierarchy on the other side of things. Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3.
Red right, 24 double Puma on one. Right, right.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
College football having another good game, good slate of games yesterday. Gets me jazzed up for bowl season. The 2025 Boca Raton Bowl is coming back for its 12th year. Tuesday, December 23rd, 2 p.m., Flagler Credit Union Stadium down in Boca. Game's going to air on ESPN. It's going to have two of the biggest and best teams from the Group of Five that are going to battle it out for their chance at the title. More information can be found at BocaRatonBowl.com. Follow along on Twitter at Boca Bowl and Facebook.com/Boca Bowl for more updates as we inch closer to the 2025 Boca Raton Bowl, Tuesday, December 23rd, Flagler Credit Union Stadium. Colin Russo, Cade Chumson, Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3. All right, Cade, let's have some fun here. Let's bounce around. Let's do a little headline hierarchy.
Five mystery storylines from the National Football League.
I thought this would be purposeful on Cade's part.
One Colin Russo hoping to not bury the lead.
This is not a big-time headline.
It's time for the headline hierarchy on Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Yes, sir. It's the headline hierarchy on Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet. Colin, it's time that we go over the Week 9 NFL slate. I'm going to give you five matchups coming from today's action, and you're going to be the one to rank them 1 through 5. Here we go. First up, the Indianapolis Colts at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Colts, statistically, the number one team in the NFL going against a Pittsburgh Steelers that already in Week 9 looks to be having to win every game they can with a very tricky AFC North division. The line isn't that great right now. It's only about 3.5 in favor of Indianapolis, even though they've been steamrolling against most of their opponents. Colin, what do you expect to come out of the Steel City?
So if I'm going to rank them 1 through 5, I mean, there's not a ton of great, great games today. This might be number 2. I'm going to safely go number 3. This game, I'm more intrigued to see if Pittsburgh can show any sort of life, because I think Indianapolis is better on all ends of the ball. They got a better defense. They got a better rushing attack. You know, Daniel Jones is playing better than Rodgers is. They're a better coach team, and they're rolling right now. What do I have to say that will, you know, what belief do I have that they are not going to continue rolling through everybody in the AFC? Maybe they haven't played the best of the best yet. You know, we haven't seen them against the Bills. We haven't seen them against the Chiefs. But this is a team that has run all over everybody, and the Steelers do not have a great defense. I think this is going to be the third biggest game of the Sunday slate, or the Week 9 slate, I should say. And I anticipate the Indianapolis Colts to roll once again, even in Pittsburgh.
I agree with you. The line officially on Hard Rock Bet is -3 for the Colts. Next up, how about the Chicago Bears at the Cincinnati Bengals? Chicago reeling after a few tough losses in the last few weeks. They're at 4-3, while the Cincinnati Bengals, you lose to the New York Jets last week. You're technically still in a race for the division at 3-5. Joe Flacco, no word come out as to whether he will play, dealing with a tad injury, but huge implications for the winner of this one, Colin. Chicago and Cincinnati.
This is going to be number 4. Sounds like Flacco is going to play. The Bears, you know, you don't want to fall into a skid. I don't anticipate them actually playing poorly today. You know, they didn't play great offensively last week, but they've been able to stack 4-game win streaks before that. So I think the key to Ben Johnson and that company is don't skid. We could lose a game. You could drop a game. Don't skid. That's what playoff teams do. They respond well after a bad loss. Bears last year would have probably lost this game, but I actually have high hopes for Ben Johnson getting the guys ready to go, understanding the heat of the moment. And I would say that this is going to be the fourth biggest game, and I actually anticipate the Bears to play well and win this one.
The line on Hard Rock Bet, Chicago -2.5. Let's go to Texas. Denver at Houston. Now, Denver looking with a AFC West leading 6-2 record up against the Houston Texans 3-4, coming off a decent win against the San Francisco 49ers. Nico Collins should be back in this game for the Texans. But Denver, though, they've got a great front four. They're doing very well on offense. 44 points against the Cowboys last week. The line, Colin, is Houston -2. As a Texans fan, I don't know where this line is coming from. Pretty much the Texans' defense, the only thing holding up this team, potentially having a chance at the division at only 3-4. What do you see happening in Houston?
This is a Vegas always knows game, by the way. So I would not touch Denver with a 30-foot pole in this situation. This is going to be number two. This is the second biggest game of the day for a couple of reasons. Number one, Texans probably need this game to stay alive. They have Jacksonville coming up here soon, and they already lost to Jacksonville. They're not looking at the AFC South. They're looking at that wild card spot. And if they're looking at that wild card spot, then they need to knock Jacksonville off their axis. And Jacksonville, who just announced yesterday that Travis Hunter is going to be down for the foreseeable future, 2 days ago, with a knee injury for at least 4 weeks. So he's going to be on injury reserve. That is one of their more important players. So Texans are thinking, boy, we need to get to this game with at least within a game of Jacksonville, because Jacksonville already won the first one. So that's why part of the reason why I think Texans are going to play well. Broncos are coming off their best win of the season against Dallas. This does not strike me as a team that is going to hum every week. You don't know what Denver Bronco team you're going to get week in and week out. You saw it against the Giants. You saw it against the Cowboys. 1 week, they're going to be all over you offensively. And the other week, they can't even register a first down in the first 3 quarters. Maybe the on the road against a good defense, Vegas is wagering on the other end. This is going to be that team that is going to have to hang around and win a 17-15 ball game. But this is going to be the second biggest game of the day, and I actually anticipate the Texans to play well and win, and that's me saying that with the Denver over.
Boy, I sure hope so. Now, and to add on to that, for the Texans, not necessarily Jacksonville that they're just fighting for that wild card spot. The three teams in that wild card spot right now, all tied at around 5-2, 5-3, are the Bills, the Chargers, and the Chiefs. The Texans play all three of them, the Jaguars one more time, and the Colts twice. So the Texans are going to have to win all against all of these playoff teams just to have those even tying records as the wins. Houston, a lot of huge games coming up for them. All right, so you have knocked out 2, 3, and 4 on our headline hierarchy. Next up, how about the Minnesota Vikings at the Detroit Lions? A classic NFC North battle. This game will be in Detroit. A lot of huge games last year when it came down to Week 18 and the first round of the playoffs last year. Detroit looking pretty good. Offense is still chugging along. What do you expect to see in the Motor City?
Now, I'm going to be completely honest with you. Does anybody anticipate the Minnesota Vikings to be in this game? I mean, I'm sitting here thinking the Lions, who the last time we saw them was on a Monday Night Football game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where the Buccaneers played terrible. And the Lions were just able to kind of walk them down the field, score early, and just kind of hang on to the game after that. We're two games removed from them getting outplayed at Arrowhead against the Kansas City Chiefs. The Lions are going to throttle them today. And I know J.J. McCarthy, it's his first game back. Maybe that was a, hey, we're going to make sure you're healthy, number one. Number two, you probably need a little extra time on the bench, learning, understanding. You have some game film out on you. I don't think McCarthy's any good at this point in his career. I think he could obviously get good eventually, but I don't think he's what that team needs now. That team needs somebody who's going to take them to the playoffs. They won 14 games last year. And that's part of the reason I'm still on the team that they should have signed Darnold when they had the chance. Darnold, $30 million a year, and you let McCarthy cook. And if he's ready to play or not, but when you have somebody, you keep him. And so I actually anticipate the Lions to win easy. This is going to be the fifth biggest game for me this week. Lions, in my opinion, are the best roster in the entire league. They have everything. And especially offensively when they're humming and when Goff is protected, I think it's impossible to beat them. Truly. So I think the Lions are going to win easy on this one.
The line on Hard Rock Bet, -9 in favor of the home team, Detroit. And you saved the best for last. Well done. The Kansas City Chiefs at the Buffalo Bills. The classic AFC non-divisional rivalry that is going around the last decade. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, everyone's alive in this game. Now, to be fair, few injuries to update you on. Joshua Palmer out for the Bills and Isaiah Pacheco out for the Chiefs. Don't think it'll make a whole lot of difference. The Bills have dominated this game in the regular season, the Chiefs in the playoffs. So in week 9 of 2025, who do you think has the edge, Colin?
All right, two things here. Number one, I'm in Jacksonville right now. I'm getting on the road essentially right after the show today. It's about a 4 hour and change back. Tank is going to be filled, so no gas stops if we need to. And I need to run an errand. There's actually somebody I have to visit in Jacksonville, which will take 20 minutes. Do I make it back in time for 4:25 kickoff?
If you leave right after the show, 11, you have...
Oh, okay, 20. I'm not getting on the road right after the show. I'm going to ballpark 11:45 to 12. We're on the road from Jacksonville.
Okay. You should be able to make that. I think so. On a Sunday, no traffic on a Sunday.
Maybe I'll miss the first drive, but I think I'll be okay for that.
Yeah. Great. And you're right here in downtown West Palm. It's not like you say West Palm, but you're actually down south. You are right here, pretty close to the station. So yeah,
I have all the stuff. Need to unload the truck. They'll take 5 minutes. Get in the car. Get back. Maybe I'll miss the first drive, but outside of that, I should be fine for the game.
These games are always decided in the second half too. So. You might miss a score, maybe, but it won't matter.
I think I'll be okay. I'll try not to speed. Chiefs, Bills. This is a weird one for me because, I mean, am I wrong for saying that this game has lost a little bit of hype this year? Probably because both these teams, I know they're 5-3, 5-2. They're definitely more mortal than they've been in the past. I know the Chiefs have played great as of late, but this is a team that has clearly doesn't have the star power that they used to have. And the Bills, on the other hand, I mean, the Bills, two games ago, we saw them against the Atlanta Falcons get thoroughly outplayed in Atlanta. And then they played the Panthers. I mean, the Panthers against Andy Dalton. So I have a hard time reading the Bill team. Part of me doesn't think they're that good. But you have the two elite quarterbacks in the league. The problem with this game on top of this is, you said it, Josh Allen's great in the regular season. Mahomes great in the postseason. Josh Allen wants to win this game. Mahomes wants to win the next game, which is why seemingly they don't mix their best game at the same time. Josh Allen will play great in this part, and I know he played well in the AFC Championship game last year. But point being, this game is number one, but I don't know if you're going to learn anything from this game. What are you going to learn? If the Chiefs win at Buffalo, then you think, all right, I guess what you learn is that maybe Buffalo's not that good, but the Chiefs always still have the Bills' number. If the Bills win this game, you could just defer and say, well, the Chiefs never win the regular season matchup. They always win the postseason matchup between them. So I don't know how much you could actually learn from this specific game. I would say that I would lean the Chiefs here, winning on the road against Buffalo. They played better as of late. I think Buffalo is going to have a tough time scoring. And I think the Chiefs, Mahomes, he's in carry mode right now. And the problem with this game is I don't think you learn it too much. But that's going to be number one.
The thing about this game is that I don't think it has much to do with these two teams as it does with everyone else. The Bills are already a game behind the Patriots as is, and they lost the tiebreaker so far. The Chiefs have lost a tiebreaker to the Chargers, and they don't play the Broncos particularly well. Both those teams are ahead of the Chiefs. So if you want any potential home field advantage in the playoffs, you need to win as many games as possible here on out. It may be the Bills or the Chiefs that you're playing against, but if you're just looking at the playoff picture in general, forget these two teams specifically, you're going to have to win this game in order to go against the rest of your division. And potentially, like, the Colts have that number one seed right now. There's a potential this AFC championship isn't in Buffalo or Kansas City. So this is huge outside of just this rivalry. Well done, Colin. Kansas City, Buffalo, number one. Denver, Houston, number two. Indianapolis, Pittsburgh, number three. Chicago, Cincinnati, number four. Minnesota, Detroit, number five. Should be a fun one today.
Should be good games. That's Kate Chumsland, Colin Russo, Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet. What we can do is we will make our picks for the week on the other side of things. Stick around for it. Kate Chumsland, Colin Russo, Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3.
Let's go. Double right, scat right, double cowboy. Double right, scat right, double cowboy.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
All right, Kate, let's get right to it. We don't have a ton of time. Kate Chums and Colin Russo, Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet. Let's do our Blitz the Book with Hard Rock Bet. Download Hard Rock Bet today on the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store and bet just $5 in the app. You bet $5, you win that first $5 bet, you get $150 in bonus bets immediately. Bet NBA, bet NHL, bet NBA, NFL, bet the college football. College basketball starts this week. I must be one of three people that actually care. So that's why it's amazing, because you have every single league that you can get started in on the app. It is easy. Follow along on the Discover page. See what other users are putting together, and you can tap and tag along on their picks as well. See what type of profit boosts and promos that they're utilizing. Hard Rock Bet is offered by the Salmon Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus. Physically present in Florida. The wages. Terms and conditions apply. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem, please call 1-833-PLAY-WISE. Cade, we got a couple minutes here. We're going to make three picks. Three games against the spread. One player prop. All worth different amount of points. The four-pointer is the player prop. Cade, what's the score? And you, who's picking first?
So I'm picking first. I scored four last week. You scored three totals. I'm at 45. You're at 36. And my one-pointer for this week. I'm going to nab this one early. Give me Indianapolis -3 against the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's probably a safer bet than just a one-pointer, but I want to make sure it's on my side of the pick game.
Was that going to be a game that you would have picked higher, but you think I'm going to take that as well?
Yes, yes.
I'm going to take the Rams today. I think they're going to win big against the New Orleans Saints. I think the New Orleans Saints 1-7, not good. Rams against the spread today, coming off the bye. I think it's about 13, 14 and a half. So because of that, I'm going to take the Rams. It's my first game.
Yeah, I believe it's an even 14 on the Hard Rock Bet app. My number two, I'm going to say safe with this one, even though I think it should be higher. Give me your Jacksonville Jaguars -2.5 on the road against the Raiders. Both teams coming off a bye. I think in and of themselves, Jacksonville is better. And I think new head coach Lean Cohen is going to get these guys ready after the bye.
I'm going to take Dallas coming off a bad loss. -3, Monday Night Football against Arizona. Jacoby Brissett, Kyler Murray, doesn't matter. They're going to score points on that Monday Night game. Give me the Dallas -3 as my two-pointer.
You already mentioned how this one should be a blowout. I agree with you. Give me the Detroit Lions -9 against the Minnesota Vikings today.
Hey, you know, weirdly enough, Atlanta could play well today, but I'm riding in the Patriot train. Patriots -5 against the Atlanta Falcons. Cade, what's your player prop to finish it off?
I think Daniel Jones is going to have a lot of passing yards and a lot of completions against the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're going to try and stuff out Jonathan Taylor. So give me the over on total completions, 23.5. That's +100 on the app.
All right, +100 on the app. I was looking at this Jared Goff game to see what it would be for Jared Goff to get +275 passing yards. It's +190. Jared Goff, +275 passing yards. I think they're going to pass it all over Minnesota today. That's +190. That's my player. All right, Cade, we had to fly through that, but that's because we had a great Game 7 last night.
Woo, buddy.
That's Cade Chumsen, Colin Russo, as we send you off into your Sunday of football and of recovery after Game 7 last night. Live here from Jacksonville, Cade's at the City Play Studios. Catch us next week with Hembo. We'll have some fun stuff to talk about with him on the best performances ever. That's Cade Chumsen, Colin Russo, Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3.
The preceding program was paid for in full by Hard Rock Bet. Advice and opinions expressed during this program were solely those of the guests or hosts of this program and not of ESPN 106.3 or Good Karma Brands.